the Chicago Bears are the greatest franchise anybody has ever seen. Belichick will never catch George Halas. The Bears will never lose again. Justin Fields will be a five-time MVP and nine-time Super Bowl champion. That's how we feel after the Bears demolish the Patriots in a Super Bowl 20 rematch. Hear all about it right now. Sir Dax!
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes! Yes! Yeah,
hello, Becky.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zero doinks. Zero doinks.
Zero doinks!
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks!
Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. If you hear cars in the background, that's because Dan and I are starting our own Super Bowl parade already. Dan can't believe what's going on right now. Zero Dogs, everybody. Welcome to Zero Dogs. Dan, how are you today, bud?
I'm great. The skies look real blue where you're at. You are hustling. You're walking very well. You're not walking now. I assume you're waiting for a stoplight, but you look great. You're good at walking. I'm not surprised after you just ran the marathon. You look handsome.
Thank
you. Do you want to share where you're at? I feel like you
absolutely
should.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I am in I'm in the Peach Street. Street? No, the Peach State. There is probably a Peach Street. I'm in Hot Atlanta, Georgia. I am here to scout the Falcons, who the Bears are playing in a few weeks. So I am just trying to find Ryan Pace, Phil Emery, Marcus Mariota, all the above. Things are hot.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're the pride and joy of Illinois, Chicago Bears, Bear Town.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Boing, 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 boing.
The Bears are the best team in the NFL, aren't they, Dan?
It's not even close. They've vaulted themselves to the top of the power rankings, ahead of the Bills, ahead of the Eagles. There's no doubt in my mind that was an ass kicking last night, and it was weird to be on the good end of it. I don't remember what that's like. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like from moment one almost, it took control. Eberflus is the next Belichick. I think nobody can argue that fact. Like, that's nobody. The one thing I got out of last night was George Halas. Be careful. Eberflus, light up your ass.
Be careful, of all people. George Halas, you better be careful. I don't really know what to say. I'm still stunned this, the next day that it was a completely different team. Are we just assume that, obviously we're a good second half adjustment team? I don't think we as a team have given up more than like 9 points in the second half. I would just assume that if you give Eberflus any extra time to plan, you're just absolutely fucked. I think that's safe. That's safe to assume. And yeah. Oh, that was a good honk of the horn.
Honk.
I'm real worried you're going to get hit by a truck, Bill, which would suck. I'd be sad about that, but it'd be great content.
It would be. It would be the perfect way for you to find a new partner, because Zero Doinks will never die. Yeah, it's No, you're right. Eberflus is the exact opposite of Matt Nagy, apparently, in terms of you give him a little extra time. Biggity boom, biggity bee. He is gonna poke holes in his own roster, and he's gonna make adjustments. And yeah, you give him 12 minutes at halftime to make adjustments, and apparently he turns into the greatest thing since Bill Belichick. It is true. It's like when the Bears, we've talked about it before, they've not been blown out once. I think part of it is just they're a second half team, but last night, oh baby, they didn't need that second half to get us very randy.
No, I'm absolutely going to puke watching this video of you walking. So also good times content is just hearing me barfing for about 5 minutes straight. If I'm puking, Bill, please don't cut the audio. I mean, JF1 looked confident pretty much right from the start. And he's, you know, obviously there's still a little cleanup, still dropping the ball here and there. He's confident that he can make every throw in the sense that he's going to escape pressure every play. Like, I don't think he willingly takes any sacks, which I kind of love. But I really, really fucking encouraged that he seems to be a bit more patient going through his progressions and finding open receivers as opposed to just running. And I think, you know, it's maybe early for Golden Cock. I'm not sure that I saw many nominations for Getsy for having a pretty good game himself. I thought the play calling was solid. You know, we had drawn up a handful of plays that were designed for Justin to run. He's still going to die. He's still going to get absolutely injured. But I think overall, Getsy had a great game. JF1. Looked real confident out there. I'll eat a little shit. I thought Cole Kmet played really well. He was great blocking. He was great on, had a great catch along the sideline. I loved the hurry up to get the ball snapped. Yeah, get the ball snapped. I've never seen that before. Hurry up and snap it because I definitely don't feel like I was in. It was just great all around. So I mean, that offense was fucking sexy last night. And I think there was – have you – actually, maybe one of my favorite plays of last night that had nothing to do – not was not a positive. Have you seen the video that's been going around on Twitter of Sam Mustipher just running, like, out in the open without blocking anybody? He just, like, steps to his right, running to the sideline. You don't even know what the fuck he's looking at. And just blocking absolutely nobody. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I have not seen it. I have not, but I did want to give you a quick update. I'm walking on Ted Turner Boulevard right now. Ted, you're a great man. You're might be dead. Big Braves guy, big CNN guy, that Ted Turner. Rest in peace if you're dead, Ted. That is
good mustache. No, according to Wikipedia, not dead. He's 83 years old. He owned the World Championship Wrestling. What is that? WCW? Was that a competitor of the WWF?
Yeah. I feel like Grease Tank would know a lot about that, I'm guessing.
I do too.
All right.
Yeah.
He's a man. Good looking. Mix it up. He's a disruptor. I'm Ted Turner.
Well, great. I'm sure it smells like a dirty mustache all along that street. Well, I don't know where you want to go, Bill. I mean, that fucking game, I mean, we could talk about it forever. Santos, obviously not getting a lot of shine. That dude's absolutely automatic. The defense, Brisker had maybe one of the sweetest INTs that we've seen this year. That was incredible after getting kicked right in the junk by Mac Jones. Mac Jones should be in prison if he's not already. It was what an awesome game. I'm still just buzzing. The Zappy shit was Zappy hour. I'll fully admit, I love when anyone says it's Zappy hour. I'm fully on board. That dude came in and he had some magic going. I mean, I'm sure you thought the same. It's like, uh-oh, we are absolutely fucked. He looks like Tom Brady 2.0. And he came crashing down to earth. And I think Patriots fans even are like, ooh. We may have jumped the gun a little bit with this guy. And poor Mac Jones looked like he wanted to die on the sideline. And you know what? Who did that? The Bears. The Bears did that. The Bears embarrassed a whole franchise.
Yeah.
you know, the, obviously the Patriots want to be the Bears as a franchise, mm-hmm. as an organization. Mm-hmm. And we just proved it last night that we are the greatest.
Yeah. I mean, this was Super Bowl 20 redo with that X at the end of that word. I think that's how you pronounce it. It was like, you know, they were a combination of Tony Eason and whoever the other was. Steve Rogan, was that the other Patriots
Joe Rogan.
Quarterback? Yeah, definitely Joe Rogan. Rest in peace. He's probably dead. The defense absolutely came to play. Roquan deserves some respect. I got somebody in my ear right now telling me I need to continue west on Peachtree. So I'm just going to keep doing that. Britt, you're right. The rookies were absolutely awesome between Brisker, Gordon with the sweet pick at the end. Robinson seemed to get a lot of kick, if you will, and he seemed all over the field. He is one lanky motherfucker. I like watching him play. Was it really a negative to pick at from last night? I mean, Pettis was decent at field and punts, and he got a little fumbly there early. It was a great game.
I would say if we're gonna pick nits, I think we got to go with Larry Borum. He did not look great, and I don't blame him. Juden? What's his name? He's just good in general, so that's not all on him. I thought Borum had a bad game, but not a complete fucking liability. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, that and the combination of the Packers just absolutely shitting the bed again is just a great week all around. Great way to wrap up the week for the Bears. So I think the division is ours. We just got to win out. And I think we're well on our way to the Super Bowl, probably get a bye in the first round. This is all just realistic expectations.
No, they are. I mean, I think you may be setting the bar a little low. I mean, I think we'll actually end up being the one seed in the AFC. That's how good we are. That's how they're just going NFC's going to say, nope, you're way too good for this conference this year, Bears. You got to go east. Doesn't really make sense. I am riding absolutely high. You're right. So great night for Bears fans, of course. Great night for Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus. Horrible night for Packers fans. They've got to be staring down at the abyss, right? Like you said it. It's, you know, Rodgers looks disinterested, and or just, you know, can't play without Adams, which is hilarious. What a baby. Jesus Christ, we've been playing in Chicago without a wideout for our entire lives. And get over it, Rodgers. It's incredible. And yeah, the Vikings don't even count. I know they're 6-1, but you know, when is that deck of cards gonna come crashing down, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, that was another game we were in, another game we were marching. We could have at least tied that game up against the Vikings. Yeah, nobody – it's Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is never scaring you. He's exactly mediocre. So, man, it's so funny how pathetic the Bears are as a franchise that we – I mean, think about where we were this time last week. I mean, we were ready to all just kill ourselves. Maybe I'm speaking for – I mean, it was doom and gloom. We have a great game, and we are fucking talking Super Bowl. And the callers on sports radio are absolutely buzzing. It's so great. I love it. And I love there seems to be like a small trend of Bears fans fighting on Twitter about, like, I never gave up on Fields. Fuck you guys for saying Fields is a bust. It's like those people are puffing out their chest, and it's, hey, this is why you listen to this podcast and you heard us say we're not making a decision until week 11, one way or the other on Fields. But I'll say the meter's ticking way up for our buddy JF1 and Pablo.
Oh yeah. It's hard to picture a scenario where Uno is staring at us with his beautiful eyes, Justin Fields' lovely little French bulldog, and we've got to try to tell him that no, we're out on Fields. It's hard to picture that at this point after an incredible Monday night in the rain, I guess. It's a bit foggy. It was a bit weird. Looked weird on TV, but it looked beautiful on TV. And, yeah, I mean, this is this is the greatest team we've ever seen in any sport. And yeah, you're right. Last week at this point, you and I were having a really hard time finding another win on the schedule.
Yep.
And and we got one immediately. So that's the NFL for you, I guess.
It really is. And I obviously, this is a huge, huge back-to-back here with going from winning at the Patriots to now going to Dallas. Dallas is a pretty fucking solid team in their own right. So if we could somehow just hang in there with Dallas, I mean, we do. We hang in with teams. Maybe it doesn't start hot, but we at least, you know, claw our way back. But if we could eke out a win against the Cowboys, which, I mean, we'll, I guess we could talk more. We'll obviously talk more about it. But, man, if you give me a win in Dallas with this Bears team, I'm going to be thinking some real naughty things.
Oh, man, I'd love to know the naughtiest thing that ever crossed your mind, but that's, you know, that's bonus material that we'll offer a very special few Sarah Dunks fans. Golden Cock, I think it's that time of the show to award the Golden Cock. Zero Doinks Fans and Eggs Player of the Game, as nominated by our Fans and Eggs. Dan, you mentioned JF1. Of course, I think he may have said Santos, Brisker. I don't know if anybody else was nominated, besides probably Dan Campbell again. Which way would you go? Would you veto? Do you have, you know, you're a man of his own thoughts. So
yes,
give it to us.
Dirty thoughts, as we just covered. I'll be honest, I'm really excited to see where you go with this, walking in the streets of Atlanta to see if you do the Cornish hen. If you don't, I'm going to be super fucking pissed. let's go, man, I kind of want to give it to Eberflus, but let's go JF1. I think we won that game because of him. He was locked in last night, didn't seem to get discouraged. Still running for his life a little bit, dropping the ball here and there, but quickly, you know, not losing any. So I'm going to go with JF1. Let's just do that.
Whoa, Danny boy, thank you so much for nominating our guy, Justin Fields, with his first career Golden Cock. As far as I remember, my memory's not good because the closer we get to Thanksgiving, the closer I get to the oven. So congrats. Justin Fields, I'll see you in Uno tonight in my bed.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize Justin sleeps with live Cornish hens in his bed. I'm not opposed to it. Congrats, Justin. I'm sure this will be such an honor for him. What are the thoughts? We're wrapping up Patriots. Justin, I think people were feeling weird about him looking at his tablet while also getting stretched out last night. Did you catch that watching it back? I feel like that was another thing they were talking about on the radio. It's like, oh, that's for the haters who say he doesn't look at plays on the sidelines. Like, what are we doing, Bears fans?
I think it's him multitasking. I don't think he's conscious of a camera trying to prove people wrong or anything. I mean,
no.
I don't think there's ever been any doubt about Fields' preparation or his professionalism, right? So,
right.
So you know what? Those haters can go suck a golden cock, Dan. I'm saying this in the street of Atlanta. I can't imagine if some random pedestrian in Atlanta just caught some of this just completely out of context. I wonder what their thoughts would be.
I would have no idea. I would have no clue. What is it? I feel like your like troll voice kind of sounds like someone who could be from Atlanta, like a fancy person who lives in Buckhead. What's the popular neighborhood in Atlanta, or at least used to be when I was a young lad? I'd be like, hey, I'm in Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta. We're going to have some cobbler. We're going to have some peach cobbler. We're going to watch the Georgia game. Go Dogs. And we're going to have some cobbler. And we're gonna suck a teat. I don't know where. I didn't know how to wrap that up. Apparently, sucking teats is a thing.
Does Pablo still live around here? I should probably look for him. I should probably look him up in a phone book. I think those are still things. Yeah, you know, he's Fields are Georgians, so this is a perfect place to be. To wrap this up, I think, Dan, would you mind if I just read you a little bit of Dan Pompey?
Yes, please.
Okay. He said, this is one nugget that jumped out to me. Peyton Manning wanted the Bears to try to score another touchdown at the end of the game. By having Justin Fields take a knee, Eberflus did the right thing by prioritizing sportsmanship and respect. Dan, just like, is he the most milquetoast guy on earth? Is he, I mean, it was almost impossible to get worked up with anything he said. I think he was a little bit nervous writing that. It looked like he didn't know how complimentary to be about the Bears or Fields in general or whatever. He's talking about his slippery balls. If those balls slip out of his hands, then maybe it's going to cost him a game later. Okay, Dan Pompey, relax. But I just want to point that out. Any thoughts on that? Did you catch that at all last night on Twitter that Manning was all fired up?
Yep. And I like how incredibly stupid. Like, it's not the fucking BCS. We're not running up the score here to get higher in the standings to try to make it to the national championship game. That's fucking dumb. And Dan Pompey wasting his time even writing about, you know, Peyton Manning being upset and like, oh, sportsmanship. I think that is just stupid. Like, I honestly didn't care either way. Like, what a great win. Like, just wrap it up there. I'm sure maybe there were some fantasy players that were upset that maybe they couldn't squeeze one more score in. But yeah, I think in that spot, you probably don't. In the pros, you don't do that shit, right? Like, that just doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares, though?
That would have been, I know. It would have been ridiculous. That would be the play that, like, yeah, for whatever reason, we try to stuff it down their throats, which would make no sense. Like you said, there's really no upside. And then, like, you know, Fields would get hurt or something stupid.
Yeah, a concussion right at the end.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, no, that's just Dan Pompey. Just that was his first nugget, I wanted to say, too.
That was the first thing he talked about.
Yeah, that's the first thing he talked about. So, Dan, you know what, Dan? Those nuggets didn't come out till today either. Give me those nuggets the night of. Just give them to me raw. Give them to me wet. We need your nuggets. We don't really want them, but we do need them. Like, we're addicts.
Yeah, we need them. Well, I think it's good enough to wrap up this week, the Pats game. Should we move on? Should we move on and get to our next win that's coming up this weekend?
Absolutely, Dan. Let's do it after a word from possibly CarMax. Not sure if they'll still be around this week, but I would imagine their slogan is, here at CarMax, we'll give you a pretty shitty car for a pretty shitty price. I think that's their slogan, right?
I think so. I think it's something like, here's $50 for your Camry, motherfuckers. CarMax, come to CarMax.
I like when they put the real tacky stickers on the back of the cars too. Like, hey, yep, I'm the asshole that basically went to Kmart and bought a car. You know, I mean, that's just. Thanks a lot, CarMax. Thanks for
you just took a shot at Kmart as well. Looks like we just lost another future sponsor. Nice work, Bell. Nice work. Well, thanks, CarMax, and fuck off, Kmart.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Got another game on Sunday. Dan alluded to the Cowboys. They're not coming to town because we will be there. Not us personally. The Bears will. Dan, are you going to walk us through our opponent? Dallas?
I am, but let me start by saying this audio could be absolute trash for this episode, so please don't hold that against us. We're playing real loose today, but we'll figure it out. You get the gist of it. All right, let's do it. This Sunday, noon, Fox. It's indoors, you dummies, so no weather will be affecting this game. No clue who's doing the game. I'm going to say it's Ian Eagle and Johnson. What's that Johnson? Gus Johnson. I don't know why they're pairing those two up. I don't even think they're Fox guys, but we're going to go with that. All right, Bill. Cowboys lead the all-time series against the Bears 15-12. So we're three games behind. We'll be only two after this weekend. Last time that we played Dallas was a Thursday night game, December 15th, 2019. Bears win 31-24. I was in the house with a pal, Rory Doinks, I believe, was that game. Also spent all day with Rick Fieldsman, which was trouble. So definitely got real drunk that night. Mitch threw for three touchdowns and ran for one more. He threw two to A-Rob, one to Anthony Miller. Dak had 334 yards on the night, one touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott had 81 yards rushing. Bill, Ezekiel Elliott, is he trash now? Where do you stand on him?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's splitting carries at best with a guy who doesn't seem that good in Troy Pollard. He actually looks a little frisky when I've seen them on national games, but yeah, he's not worth what they're paying him. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. All right, so just a few names that I ran through at the end of the summary of this. Just a lot of old names that I'm just stunned that none of them are still around. Javon Wims left the game in the second half with a knee injury. Inactive for the game for the Bears, Prince Amukamara with a hamstring injury. Not shocking that he was hurt. Taylor Gabriel had a concussion. Ben Broniker had a concussion. And Bobby Massey had an ankle. They all missed the game. Just all of those names almost gave me like PTSD of just the beginning of the end of the Matt Nagy era. But you know, Prince being hurt, you and I always get a chuckle out of that. Was it just was he the shoulders guy, or am I thinking of Paul George? I'm crossing over.
Yeah, he's a hamstring guy. He was hamstring. A hammy. His hammy's a real loose. Yep.
Real loose. But that's it. Any thoughts from that particular game? Do you recall? Were you drunk like myself? Were you in Atlanta? Any other thoughts on that one?
I have no recollection of it at all. I really don't. And so I was probably drunk then. I was probably depressed. You know, depression's nothing to laugh about or joke about. So I'm not trying to do that, but you know, it was in the middle of a Bears season. So I was definitely depressed.
That makes perfect sense. All right, buddy. So we are, obviously I knew you were heading to Atlanta. So I looked up a list of the most famous Atlantans. I think that's how you say it. Atlanteans. I don't know. And number three on the list, Bill, was Jeff Foxworthy of the redneck comedy bullshit. That was shocking and kind of sad for Atlanta that he's number three. I think he was just ahead of Tyler Perry. I feel like Tyler Perry's probably more successful. I think he's more rich, but we're going to go with Jeff Foxworthy. He apparently was born in Atlanta, went to Georgia Tech, and he still lives there today. So if you see him, say,
"You might be a redneck if you have boots that get shit in with your sister's boyfriend, who's also your husband."
I don't know what that means. I'm really sorry. Well, did I mention we're playing real loose today? I think so. You big Jeff Foxworthy guy? I think Bill died. Okay, he might have gotten hit by a truck. All right. So anyway, Jeff Foxworthy, he was born on September 2nd, 1958. So the last time the Bears and Cowboys played on his birthday was September 2nd, 1996. In Chicago, Bears win 22-6. The only two touchdowns from this game, one of them was a 33-yard Curtis Conway pass to Raymond Harris. And the second touchdown in this game was a Brian Cox fumble recovery in the end zone. Todd Sauerbrunn also completed a 47-yard pass. One other note, Deion Sanders led the led the Cowboys in receiving. He had 9 catches for 87 yards. Was Deion a receiver? Like, why don't
I remember? I don't remember that at all. I don't remember that even a little bit.
That was in, yeah, it was a box score from football database. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Real weird, unless they have that wrong, but I don't recall that at all. But he's a stud. He was an unbelievable athlete. I'd seen a clip of, like, he's the first person he played in a game with the Falcons and then got on a plane and went to, like, the Braves playoff game that same night. Like, what a badass that he can do. I don't think he played in the baseball game, but just awesome all around. All right, let's see here, Bill. All right, let's move on to the coaching staff. Mike McCarthy, a little surprised we've not done Mike McCarthy before. I think we missed his window when he was in Green Bay, obviously, and then when he got hired with the Cowboys, he wasn't coaching in 2019 for them. So he's 157, 102, and 2 all time as a head coach, which is a pretty good record. I guess you'd thank Rodgers for that. He somehow won a Super Bowl, which still blows my mind, I think, in spite of him. Out of high school, he went to a JUCO in Scottsdale, and then he made his way to something called Baker University in Baldwin, Kansas City. Baldwin City in Kansas. There we go. We got there. He was a 2-time all-conference tight end, and it apparently is an NAIA Division II school. I didn't even know. I knew NAIA. I didn't know they had multiple divisions. So not impressed with his coaching or his playing career. I did, however, look at who Baker University's famous alumni is. And probably the biggest one is a guy named Andrew Cherning, C-H-E-R-N-G. He's the founder of Panda Express, Bill. How about that? You a big Panda Express guy? Did you have some at the airport today?
I did not. I've actually never had it. I am a big sticky rice guy, though, and I love some chow mein in my mouth. So, no, I've actually never ever done that. When I do, Asian food of any sort, Dan, I show respect to the culture, and I don't do fast food. I don't do it. Give me that TMG. Is that what it's called? What is the MSG?
MSG.
That's probably it. Give me all that weirdness. How about you, buddy? You seem like a good Panda guy.
Yeah, every once in a while. That was like a college move. You just have a lot of that orange chicken. Just double it up. Just ask, sweet talk the person, and they just keep, give me another scoop. Give me another scoop because I'm going to blow you kisses from behind the window here. Yeah, my kids love it. So we dip into it every once in a while. So good for him. All right, offensive coordinator for the Cowboys is Kellen Moore. It's his fourth season as the Dallas OC. I don't know if he's a good coach or not. I feel like he was a hot head coach candidate, maybe take over for the Cowboys. I don't see that happening. He's so-so. They have a lot of talent on that team, so I feel like he's doing the bare minimum. I went back and looked at his career at Boise State. He had 50 wins and 3 losses in his 4 years there, which is pretty impressive. He threw for almost 15,000 yards, and he had 142 touchdowns. I want to say he was the last – I can't remember when he retired. He was the last lefty quarterback before in the NFL before Tua. So, yeah, he was fun. He was a fun college quarterback. I feel like I lost a lot of money on Boise State when he was there. I can't prove that, but I feel like another school I maybe don't trust. Are they good anymore?
He's a bit toothy, I would say. Yes. Kellen. He's got quite the set of dentures. No, they're actually kind of bad this year. It's shocking.
Interesting. Oh, all right. All right, moving along. Offensive line coach is Joe Philbin. He's just been hanging around with McCarthy a lot since his days in Green Bay. He was a Dolphins head coach from 2012 to 2015, 26 and 30 all time as a head coach. So not great. He did. This is a bummer. He did have a son that passed away in 2012. He was drunk and fell into a river, which I don't bring that up just for that. But the next line in the Wikipedia under his personal section was that his son, Matthew, that not the one who passed, crashed his car and fled the scene of an accident in 2014 in Miami. Okay, what does that have to do with Joe? And then the very last line of his personal information in Wikipedia says, Matthew is currently a Section 8 landlord in San Diego. Hard stop. Why is that on Joe's Wikipedia page at all? Why is that even noteworthy? Very weird.
It's incredibly specific. And definitely, you know, treat those vouchers with respect. Otherwise, the long arm of the law is coming for you, son.
I feel like this might be a discussion at your conference this week, but we don't need to know more about that. All right. The quality control coach on the offense is a guy named Chase Haslett. He's the son of Jim Haslett. It says that he played quarterback at Illinois, and he graduated in 2014 and ended up at IUP. Do you know this guy?
He was on the roster. I do recall that, but I don't know that he ever took a snap.
Okay. All right. It did not say that there were no stats, so I assumed he didn't play, but he was on the roster. All right. Defensive coordinator, second year with Dallas is Dan Quinn, previously the Falcons head coach. He went 46-44. I honestly thought Dan Quinn was going to be the head coach of the Cowboys this year, so. But they did hang on to him. I feel like he's going to get another head coaching gig. He seems pretty well respected around the league. Are you a Dan Quinn guy? I feel like you want a goatee like him.
Yeah, I was a little nervous he was going to be the next Bears coach. Yeah, that seemed highly rumored. But
yep.
Yeah, good coordinator. Don't know if he's a great head coach. But, looks like Mr. Quinn. He's real handsome.
Yeah, I mean, he should have won a Super Bowl with the Falcons, so kind of blew that. I guess that's probably more Shanahan's fault, right? Anyway, all right. Assistant D-line coach is Leon Lett. He's actually been with the Cowboys since 2011, so he's like the longest-running Cowboys coaching member. Leon Lett, obviously, the first thing I think of with him is getting the ball slapped out of his hand as he was returning a fumble in the Super Bowl by Don Beebe. That's all I remember. Obviously, it didn't matter in the end, but I feel like whenever the Super Bowl rolls around, you're going to see at least one clip of that.
Big victory for those who love white wide receivers. That was a big moment.
Big moment. just a scrappy guy sprinting down the field to save a touchdown. Good job, Don. Okay, special teams coordinator, definitely talked about him before, is John Fossil. He's the son of Jim, and I don't know if you recall, his nickname is Bones. Just a great nickname in general. Crazy eyes, seems like a real weirdo. Definitely a guy I'd want to have on my staff. Ooh, that sounded sexual. May have lost Bill. Let's move on. We'll move on. Bill might have gotten hit by a truck again. He's walking, he's adjusting his glasses, he looks very serious. He might be amongst some Atlanta trolls. I think they exist down there. But anyway, all right, the owners of the Cowboys is the Jones family. They are, you know, who cares? We've all talked about them to death. They're all weird scumbags, Jerry especially. The Jones family, who cares? We know them quite a bit, but there's one person that jumped out to me, Bill, and he's actually a scout, a national scout / special projects, and this guy's name is Klein Kubiak, obviously Gary's son. We got another Kubiak. I don't know if we've talked about him. He's one of the Clay and Clit, and we have Klein Kubiak. That's obviously Gary's son.
Klein? Is that what you said?
Klein,
like
K-L-E-I-N.
Okay, that's stupid. That's a stupid name. It's a stupid family. I'm sick of them. I'm absolutely sick of all the Kubiaks.
They're everywhere. He's Gary Kubiak's not a good coach. How is he getting all of his kids these jobs? It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Nothing else really to cover with the Cowboys. No Gophers or Illini on this roster. So probably not great. You know, they should have a few Illini, but not having any Gophers is good these days. So there you go, Bill. That's what we got for Cowboy Talk. I think we lost Bill officially.
Bet, hedge, lose, reload. Bet, hedge, lose, reload.
Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread. Hams and bread.
Zero doinks!
Yes. Yes.
Zero doinks!
Yes. Go!
Zero doinks!
Push the ball. Push the ball.
Hams and bread.
Go!
Sausage!
Yes. Go! Kick it in!
Hams and bread.
Let's go!
Everybody's tuning in to get those hot, hot picks.
Oh, baby, I am still in Atlanta? Yeah, I guess so.
Rick Fieldsman is giving you the sauce.
I think your picks are hot, and you might no longer be overseas. Give it to us, Rick.
When your eyes go over Rick's profile picture, what comes to mind?
He's a dummy.
All right, doinkers, we are back. Rick is back, stateside, baby. No more Europe. Oh, Shivu played, no more Europe. Oh, I'm done with the French, done with the Germans, done with the Europeans. I'm back with my people. Sorry, fans abroad, but I am an American. I'm proud to be an American, and I will be an American from here on out. I am sitting in my truck right now and it's raining. Apologies for the large raindrops hitting the roof. But you know what? This is the authentic experience the loyal listeners expect from Zero Doinks. This is the high quality content. That's the word I'm looking for, that you're looking for. You know what? It's earlier in the day than I normally record, because Bill Doink set a ridiculous deadline for today that Rick has no chance of meeting. Usually I'm about 16 beers deep before I record this, but you know what? A dry day is a dry day. So let's get with the picks right now. I went 2-1 last week. I am 9-13. No, it's not that. 9-14-1. 9-14-1. That's right. 8 weeks. 8 times 3, 24. A little bit of a math whiz. No big deal. Humble brag. Let's go to the first pick.
Habs and spreads pick one.
All right. So here's what happened yesterday. The Bears absolutely crushed the Patriots. I can't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Oh, wait. I could believe it. Rick had the hottest gambling day of his whole life. Justin Fields, first touchdown. Bang. Bears money line. Bang. Parlay with all three rushing leaders. Bang, bang, bang. Absolutely just banging out the hot picks. Oh, my gosh. So many funds in the accounts. I'm starting with the Bears. Noon game, Bears at Dallas. That's right. I was going to go to this game. I was going to go down to Dallas. Dan Doyce was supposed to go. I'm curious to listen to this episode. I was going to be down there. I'm not. I'm not down there. Bears plus 9. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. The Bears cause quarterback controversies. Alliteration through the roof. We are going with the Bears plus 9. Easiest bet on the board. We're going with this with the hot one. Do it. Noon. Boom. Book it. Next pick.
Habs and spreads pick 2.
Had the crispy pork knuckle. Good, not great. We are going Pittsburgh Steelers at Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles, hottest team right now, coming off a bye week. Steelers, a little bit gross. But the Steelers are getting 10.5 points. And there's a little, the first chapter of Rick's gambling book is, if an NFL team is getting double-digit points, you take the points. And I'm taking the Steelers, hate the Steelers, taking the Steelers. Eagles, you know what? I think a lot of the attention's on the Phillies right now. Everyone thinks that the Eagles are in the driver's seat. This is the analysis that you get from Zero Doinks. Hams and spreads. Hams and bread. Uninitiated. Best podcast in the world. Eagles going down. Steelers take the points. Plus 10.5. Let's go to the last pick.
Hams and spreads. Pick 3. Printing monies. Pick of the week.
Not sponsored. Shout out Lufthansa. I slept great on that plane on the way home. Watched Top Gun Maverick. Unbelievable movie. Everyone told me I would love it. I said nay. Watched it. Apologies to all of you. Fantastic. Movie reviews coming next segment. But let's go with the last pick here. Washington Commanders at Indianapolis Colts. The Commanders, I mean, are they the real deal? They do what they need to do to win. That's what good football teams do. They do what they need to do to win. No more, no less. Just exactly what they need. Bears, 5 points. Bang. Beat the Packers by 2. Bang. Commanders, 3-point dogs to the Colts. The Colts, like, are you, this is a joke. How are they getting 3 points? It's at Indianapolis. It's the 325 game. That's the Washington hotspot right there, 325 game. We're going Commanders, baby. Are these 3 dogs? Boom. 3 dogs. That's what you come here for. The hottest of dogs. Let's, you know what? I just want to say something right now. I love the Bears. I'm the biggest Bears fan in the world. I never lost faith. I wasn't even going to watch the game yesterday. When Justin Fields crossed that goal line, oh, baby, I stood for the rest of the game. I was hot. I was hot. Body temperature went up to like 98.8. Stayed there. Heart rate, a solid 88 beats per minute. Just rock steady. I'm going to send this one back to the boys. And as always, have a good one at the windows.
Absolutely perfect. So true.
Oh, baby. Well, Dan and I aren't together anymore. Temporarily. Don't worry. Nothing happened. Everything's fine. The family's still together. No big deal. But as you heard with the prior segments, I was unreliable here in Atlanta. But a couple quick hams and bread thoughts that Dan wanted to pass along here. And thanks, Rick, by the way. You sound amazing. You sound energetic. Definitely weird. Glad you're back. Hope that the crispy moose knuckle that you ate in Germany has not backfired. Okay, back to Dan's thoughts. Bears, Cowboys, Bears are +9, even after the Monday night debacle in New England. Not for us, debacle for them. +350 money line, over under 49.5. Cowboys are -435 on the money line. Cowboys are 5-2 against the spread overall, 2-5, over under 2-5 in games that they are playing, have played, will continue to play. Bears 3-3-1 against the spread now after Monday night success, 3-4 with the over, with the total. Dan, not sure which way he's going. I'm going to make a call for him. He is going to go Bears +9. He's going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line. He is going to hump the under. He doesn't think those same types of points are going to happen 2 weeks in a row for the beloved. I, as you know, love tickling a good money line, and +350 is too big to pass up for your pal Bill. Boom, stick it, lick it, put it in your pipe, smoke it. Bears are the best. They're going to be 4-4 going into next week against somebody that will beat, I'm sure. This has been Hams and Bread with Rick Fieldsman in the middle. See you next segment.
I want to thank all of our loyal listeners in Europe. This is a beautiful continent that you live in. Switzerland is absolutely gorgeous. Germany, I'm sure, is better. But take me home tonight, Eddie Money.
I'm going to send it back to the boys. And as always, Java Quiz is a winner.
Dude. Weirdest Big Ten minute, and I love it so much.
Big Ten minutes.
A bunch of fat, pale Midwesterners just roaming around Pasadena.
You love the Illini, and I have a life.
I bleed orange and blue.
Gophers, -3 is my pick. I respect your love for the Illini.
Shove it, shove it, shove it. Row, 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 shove, shove, shove. I'm, like, pretty much the only Gopher fan that people know.
Ooh, Big Ten minute, just me, look at me, maybe I can gloat. No, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not that kind of Illini fan. Let's start with Dan first, because the Illini had a bye. He said he hates the Gophers so much, fuck them. And Dan and I were texting a little bit on Saturday night. He was very upset with their loss to Penn State. I put a little bit of cash on the Nittany Lions. He thought I was trolling him personally. So nerves are frayed. Nerves are absolutely frayed for Dan. Pray for him. If you believe in a higher power, give him your best, get on your knees, and let's hope that Dan gets through these tough times. Illini, week off. It was great week, though, because Purdue lost to Wisconsin, and the Gophers lost, which is good for Illini. Sorry, Dan. They are going at Nebraska. They're 7.5-point favorites at Nebraska. Dan thinks they're winning the national championship. I tend to agree. They're going to win, and they're going to cover. They're on fire. They've had a week off to get healthy. They're playing great. There's not going to be a letdown in Lincoln for the Illini. The Gophers, 14-point favorites against Rutgers. He said nobody should, Dan said nobody should ever bet on the Gophers as long as PJ's around. So PJ has been turned against by Dan and Gopher Nation. Illini are up to number 17 in the AP, I want to say, and they are a very live favorite for the West. In fact, they can clinch a West title if they beat Nebraska, if they beat Michigan State, which I believe is next weekend, and if Northwestern loses one of the next two games, one of which is against Ohio State, so that's going to happen. Sorry, Grease Tank. That would set up a home game against Purdue for Illinois. And if Illinois were to win that game, they would win the West. They would clinch the West, even despite whatever may happen at Michigan and God knows where else. So Northwestern, that's not going to happen. As we mentioned, Grease Tank, Northwestern sucks. Anyway, Illini are great. It's almost time for hoops as well. Illini are in the top 25 for hoops. Everything is coming up Illini. I love you. See you next segment.
Bill, you can have this win. Enjoy it while it lasts. Illini will let you down. Illini will make you.
Oh, warning! Vroom vroom. Auto sports. Dip shits dip sticks.
Max Verstappen.
Dip shits and dip sticks.
Lewis Hamilton.
Dip shits and dip sticks.
Ferrari.
With the owner of Grease Tank Racing, Grease Tank himself. Dip shits and dip sticks. Sir Dice.
Red Bull, Red Bull.
Auto sports.
Welcome back to Dipshits and Dipsticks with your boy Grease Tank. We're in the home stretch of both of our racing series that we're following, with a couple races left in NASCAR and about three or four races remaining in Formula One. It's anyone's race, so let's get right into it. The boys in NASCAR were down in Homestead, Miami at the Homestead Miami Raceway, and Kyle Larson led 199 of 260 laps and absolutely dominated it for a dominating victory. Unfortunately, he's not one of the playoff contenders, so this really doesn't matter much to him except for just a little pocket change. Two of the remaining eight contenders in this race finished in the top 10, so not a lot of good finishes for the contenders here. Let's see, what else happened? Martin Truex Jr. spun out in the pits, took him out of the top 10. Other than that, it wasn't a very eventful race. It was a good race. It was a test for all the contenders there, obviously. But we're on to Martinsville. Martinsville next week. It's a short track. It's a tight track. Expect a lot of rubbing, a lot of banging around. The biggest thing to notice about next week, right now, Denny Hamlin is below the cut line for the final four. And right above him is William Byron. Now, these two guys have had success on short tracks. Denny Hamlin is a six-time winner at Martinsville, but he has not won in this new style car. Now, Will Byron won the spring race this year in this new car, and Denny Hamlin struggled. So a lot is at stake at this Martinsville race next week. So tune in. It's going to be exciting. And then after that, you're at the championship race in Phoenix 2 weeks after that. So it's anyone's championship right now. And finishing with Formula One, the boys were down in Austin, Texas at the Circuit of the Americas, and Max Verstappen wins another stupid race. No, I'm kidding. I do like Max a lot. But with him winning, they secured the Constructors' Championship, which is a points championship between the 10 different teams. In the last 8 or 9 years, Mercedes has won. But this year, Red Bull wins it. So good for them. Congratulations. A lot of weird things happened this weekend. Daniel Ricciardo showed up on a horse, and the horse even had VIP credentials. So that was weird. Like I predicted last segment, everyone was wearing cowboy hats. Carlos Sainz had qualified first, had pole position, and spun out in the very first turn, and then ended up not finishing the race. So that's insane. Fernando Alonso got into an accident a few laps into the race. The car almost flipped over, but he ended up saving it, got into the pits, repaired the car, and came back and finished in seventh place. So impressive run by him. And guess what? Our Haas boys actually got some points this week. So congrats to our boy Magnussi. He finished eighth place. Points for the American team. Good for him. Next week, or I'm sorry, not next week, 2 weeks from now, they're in Mexico City. I would love to see Sergio Perez, you know, win a race in his home country. So let's make that happen. And after that, there's two more races left, one in Brazil and one in Abu Dhabi. So this season's about to wrap up as well. And with all that said and done, that's it for this week on Dipshits and Dipsticks. Thank you all for listening. Remember to check your dipsticks regularly. And as always, grit meets grease.
Dip shits, dip sticks. Dip shits and dip sticks. It's dip shits, dip sticks. With Grease Tank. Dip shits and dip sticks. Sudokes. Vroom vroom. Auto sports.
All right. Thank you, Grease Tank. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Coach Cuse, for being a musical genius. Thank you, Dan, for putting up with me walking through the streets of Atlanta earlier in the show. Nothing much to talk about here on the outro. The Bulls might be bad, might be good. Don't really know. Zach LaVine's knees are that of a 65-year-old man. That can't be good. But they killed Boston on Monday night, so we're back to being excited about them. White Sox might never hire a manager. Who cares? Toffees are incredible. But we're back to being a Bears podcast. 100% Bears. And Grimace. And John Lithgow. Thank you for listening to the super off-putting, probably, episode of Zero Dykes. Love you. Bye.
two penguins putting fish inside each other. Yeah.
He's got
congrats
a head of
on
hair.
The mac yeah. and cheese. You know, congrats.
Congrats on that. Jesus Christ, another dad joke. I like that one, actually. The president of
I like the sound that it makes. That's what I like about it, Dan.
You sound like a real candlestick maker right now, buddy.
Do the voice. Don't let yourself off the hook.
Oh, thank you. What was that? What was that? Oh, my God.
Bill, Fantasy Corner, sponsored by Grimace and his genitalia, and John Lithgow.
Aflac Duck is going to bite him in the penis, and he's going to bleed out.
Shout out, Todd.
Shout out to the Thod.
Sorry, just going back. Did you say the duck was going to bite him on the penis?
And he's going to bleed out.
That's how he goes? That's how he goes before the gopher matchup? 2030 before 2032.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a live commercial. Like Aflac's gonna pay millions of dollars to do a live Super Bowl ad. It's Saban. It's the duck. The duck loses his fucking mind. Somehow gets Nick Saban like undoes his belt. The duck pulls down his pants and takes a big bite. And it's live. Like I said, there's nothing anybody can do because it's paid for. It's a sunk cost. You got to keep the cameras rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happens to the penis if it stays in the duck's bill or if it falls to the floor. If you're running out of batteries for
your vibrator.
Hit the store and get yourself some Duracells.
Is Duracell cool with us?
Apparently.
Talking about vibrators?
Oh. I mean, if it needs batteries, I'm sure they would want you to buy Duracell, right?
I'm a vibrator. Poof. Triple A batteries. This is Dan Pompey.
Does anybody buy those flat batteries anymore? The kind that with like those two little things on top? You know what I'm talking about? Are those, do you think?
Like for your watch? Like a watch battery?
No, like the big one. Well, how big's your watch? The huge, like the huge one, the huge, thick, like rectangle. It's got the two.
Oh, like the
things on top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's for like.
How do you think sales are for those?
Are those Ds? Are those D batteries?
Double Ds.
I still love having to announce who you are in our impressions. I feel like did that start with Andy Dalton? I think it was, we had to say, hey, I'm Andy Dalton. I'm just here in the corner. I'm Andy Dalton. Bill is a beverage that may come flying out of his mouth.
My thoughts are, they mirror yours in some ways. I think it just seems it seems obvious that
now that I think about it, I don't know that I've ever seen Coach Cuse's tongue. Have you? Man, those people in Tacoma, they're freaks. I can't get a coffee without getting blown. I'm hairy. Everywhere. Hey, Bruce Shingledecker, why do you paint me a picture of a wildlife tongue, you son of a bitch? All right. Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ow!
Does Pinocchio have a penis?
Well, that'd be an issue if he... I assume he didn't, because unless Geppetto's just a freak, he's making a boy with a dick. Right? Because
he had to have carved a wooden penis under those trousers.
Butthole too.
He had to. Oh boy.
Okay. Let's not. We don't need to explore that anymore.
We don't need to.
I think we can just. I just thought Jordan was like has like a like Guy Fieri in her spank bank and is just just knows everything about him. So maybe the same for you. Are you jerking off to Guy Fieri?
Oh, not just to him, with him, and in him.
In the unity of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Please be seated.
I like dangerous games.
Dolphin Dick Island.
Blowhole Bonanza.
He has four kids that are named Jaden, Jace, Joby, and Joel. All J's.
Joby? I don't know more about Joby. I think it's Joby. I'm going with Joby.
It's like a Lord of the Rings thing. Is it a troll from Lord of the Rings? I haven't seen it. I don't know.
I think that's his middle name though.
Or is it the is there a Joby first, in his first Harry name's Potter Hand. Or something?
His first name's Hank.
It came from some website called Sports Spectrum, where it's where sports and faith connect. Have you ever heard of that? I know that's not really in your algorithm on your computer. Any faith-based information, because you worship the devil. But
six. Come here, Beelzebub.
Love it. Thank you so much. Do Cornish hens have knees?
I don't even know how to answer that. We are so happy that One Bar and Lupagus, you tell us.
It's a me, Geppetto. I have a boy with the wooden cock.
Goodbye, I'm a dolphin.
Poof.